Hanging with Police Minister Becky Cele on the show this morning. Lots of questions coming in. Some questions from Twitter. Mr. Cele, where is this? Nokubonga wants to know how far with the Senzo Moyiwa case.
Well, it would be awkward not to get that question wherever I go. 2 weeks ago, I was with the father of Senzo in the foundation that has been started in KZN on that one. So he asked the same question. I don't know what happened to the Senzo matter at the time. It's unfortunate that each time we come, we need to start afresh. We have just put the new guys in looking at the Senzo Moyiwa case. It's a sensitive matter, and I must say, given the report, I didn't like the report very much myself about 2-3 weeks ago. But we have tried to reinforce the team and reinforce and the reignite, re-engineer, and see what we can get out of it. The only thing I have done and I'm still doing is to put my head on the block that at the final end the matter will be resolved.
What about the report didn't you like? Was it on the wrong track? Incomplete?
It seems to be too abstract to me. The worst part about the Senzo Moyiwa was not killed in the middle of the night, in the darkness, that there was nobody saw anything. There were people present and all that, and you just don't know why that thing could not be cracked from the very word go and all that. And maybe because of sensitivity of the matters, things that one cannot share, what would be the unhappiness about it going forward and all that.
Question from Tulani. A few years back, I heard about the SAPS launching its own university. What's the status on that? It also links to a question about police intel. Mm. Are you happy with police intelligence? Do we have enough of it in this country? I mean, going back now even to the Senzo question.
You mean the intelligence as the
intel, yeah,
as the unit or the police that they have intelligence in their head?
Well, both. Pick one.
No, police used to be the failure kind of the organization. If you can't do anything else, why don't you join the police? I think that has come to an end now. You need your matric, to be young and all have grown there. Just look, the guy that is hitting the Hawks at the present moment is a doctor of laws. He just didn't come there because he has issues with the police. But there is that. But the intelligence, as a unit in the South African police, we had a problem for 6 years, everybody knows that there have been many people acting because the actual head has been suspended and all the time. We have just brought that man from Western Cape now, General Jacobs, who I think is between to do the good thing. The news you hear about the arrest was intelligence driven. So we're beginning to get better results out of intelligence driven operations.
You've got confidence in the new guy. In terms of the university that Tulani is talking about?
The university, it did come and it went. I don't know, maybe we launched it before we could stretch out the thinking, what do you want to do going forward. But we have got a very good relationship between the South African police and several universities, including UNISA, where we work our programs going forward to them. And we offer a lot of scholarships with the South African young South African police members.
From Durampoort, Oliver on the line. Good morning, Oliver.
Good morning, Martin. Good morning, Minister Cele.
Good morning, sir.
The question that I have is with regards to foreign nationals and illegals. They obviously contribute towards a statistic of crime in our country, and our judicial system doesn't really account for them. It's costing us huge amounts of money to keep these guys here, and they are also part of crime. And I mean, what is the statistic of these guys and their crime within South Africa?
So you want to know about a percentage of illegals, people that are in the country illegally, that are involved with crime?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, cool, thanks.
Well, that's one area. I hope South Africans, all formations, including the human rights, they shouldn't cry xenophobic when we raise these matters, because there is that scare word now of if you raise those matters, you are xenophobic. As I have said to you, that they are quite few foreign nationals involved in this cash heist. The last arrest, again, there is a 42-year-old that come from Botswana. It's completely illegal, not documented and all that. But Home Affairs is a part of this cluster of security, where we're trying to work together in terms of the undocumented foreign nationals who do get involved in crime. And it's a hell of a job for police, because it's very difficult to arrest a person that is undocumented, have no fingerprints and no any other thing. I think it's one area that we need to tighten up, working with the Home Affairs to see that everybody is documented in South Africa.
Do you tell them that? Do you meet with Home Affairs? No, do you say to them, help me here?
They are part of the cluster, the security cluster, which is our police, the NPA, as I've said, the Home Affairs, Defense, and
are all. Are you putting enough pressure on them?
We do meet together, and indeed, they know our cry.
Quick one from Johan in Lynnwood. Mora, Johan, good morning.
Morning. Firstly, Minister, thanks for coming back to us, and you're already making a difference out there. My question is regarding the firearms license that expired. So about a year ago, I wanted to renew my firearms license at the Gauteng Police Station, and now I was being told I cannot renew it because it was later than the 90 days period. I was then told to keep my firearm license because of the court case pending. I must not hand it in. That was told me by the police station. Now, I don't know what to do, because now the court case has ruled in favor of the police, saying that you must hand in your firearm. But I heard of people that are scared they'll be arrested for handing in the firearm that with the expired license. But I was just following instructions from the police to keep it in my safe. So I'm not sure what to do. I want to go hand in my firearm license because I'm a law-abiding citizen, but I'm scared of being arrested for something that I didn't do wrong.
Thanks, Sean.
You shouldn't worry for getting arrested. You get free meals, man. No, it's a joke. So we are working again on the amnesty. It's going to be coming up very soon from Parliament for those people that want to retain their firearms. The one that the unlicensed under there, there are almost 430,000. That are supposed to be brought back. Police are working the logistics. There are too many logistics of receiving them as they come back. But the question of the amnesty is going to be out soon, where you can return your gun, even if it is licensed, if you don't want
it. What must Johan do?
Johan, at the present moment, can keep it, wait. And because, as I'm saying, police themselves...
Amnesty is coming?
Yes, it's coming.
So if he takes it back now, there's a chance of him being arrested?
No, he won't. Because that one comes from the court decision. Remember, there was a court where the organization was still arguing. They have lost the thing, so he can bring it without getting arrested.
What's weird for me about this whole gun thing is that the actual criminals are unlikely to come and bring back guns. You know what I'm saying? You seem to be very focused on getting obviously the concern is get those guns ending up in the wrong hands or what? Because the criminals are not going to bring guns back.
Logistically, that's what I'm saying. That most of those guns, 430 of them, are on the responsible South Africans.
Yeah.
Are guns that were licensed, are guns that were hunters organization and all that. So worried about those guns, yes, but not much like the guns that are stolen from the police, from your house and all that.
All right.
So that's why we have operations on those. Okay. But again, logistically, we must be ready. Remember one of our guy, Prinsloo, the police, who was arrested and given many years because was selling the illegal return guns, selling them and all. So we need to tighten up all those things so that when those guns, they come back, they don't find their way to the criminals again through the back door.
Which happens, of course.
You know, Minister, before you go, I would have a lot of people upset with me if I don't go here. You know, I'm from Eldorado Park, and my concern is always about the smaller communities and the drug abuse in those those areas. You know, I do talks about this, being a former Miss South Africa as well. And just the other day, I was reading that about 60% of drug abuse and substance abuse crimes, 60% of crimes is because of drug abuse and substance abuse. And I think I need to find out, what are we going to do in those smaller communities? Those kingpins live in the streets of our grandmothers and everybody else. And do we need to send people in there undercover? It just needs to stop. My mom is a recovered addict. She was an addict for 12 years, fell into that trap in El Dorado Park. And for me, that is something that just hits home every single day when I visit.
Elders, eh? Well, come from elders.
Yeah.
I thought people asked me about this question of having brought on board Lennox Max, the DA guy, to come and work with me.
Mm.
Without looking the color and the race of crime in South Africa, there are things that are emphasis on some of us as some Democrats in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So what you are saying, not just from elders and Rachet and all that, is a Cape Flat kind of problems coming up with mostly the colored communities.
Yes.
So is one area that I'm sure you have heard of, the Operation Thunder in Western Cape, where we are concentrating. We can't concentrate on gangsters minus drugs. Is quite one kind of crime.
Mm-hmm.
And in Western Cape, we have really managed. I think we have gone for four top guys. We call it a crackdown.
Yes.
You will hear that. So, but we are also moving, rather than talking. There have been a lot of visit and talking in El Dorado, former president, former ministers, and all that. Maybe now we need to be less in terms of visit and try to punch out. We are working on that. And you are not going to get in, work on that violence and gangsterism if you are not working hard on the drug issues.
On the substance, yes. I hear you.
Okay, I think we've covered quite a bit this morning. We've heard from farming communities, cash in transit, people asking about guns. There's one name that keeps coming up on Twitter as well. I'm not sure it's a name you don't want to hear. The Guptas. I saved it for last so we can end on a smile. No.
What are they saying?
What's happening? What's your take on this?
Well, one thing that they didn't touch, South Africans, is the taxi violence.
We're getting there. Hang on.
Okay. So, no, I don't want to say much about Guptas. So much has been said and so less has been done. I'm waiting for my briefings of the latest with the new head of Hawks, because most are Hawks that are dealing with the issues of the G's. They are somewhere in the world, they've been seen somewhere on the pitch and all that. But I think they have one or two questions to come back and answer.
Are you waiting for them?
Well, there are things that I would like to hear myself.
Is it?
Yeah.
Taxi violence... It affects so many people. Obviously, it affects the people in the taxis, innocent bystanders. It feels like, and excuse me for saying this, it feels like they are ruling you and us. They are law unto themselves when it comes to solving problems. How are you going to stop
them? Until you are tough on them.
How are you going to be a tough? Are you tough enough on them?
Yes, I think we are. I think where you really go tough, they begin. I was saying to this morning, talking with the staff in the office, we had a lot of death in Delpha, around those Cape Flats about 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. At one weekend, 13 people were killed. The 13 from Friday to Monday, 13, including innocent commuters, bystanders, as
sure.
You say. We have gone down there to have a meeting in 2 weeks. Not a single person has died, because we throw the rule book on them to say, you do this, we go for this, you do this, we go for this. And I'm glad we are having the last and follow-up meeting come the Friday this morning with the taxi industry down there. There is one thing that taxi industry understand, and they understand, hit their stomach. it's a government privilege. It's not a right to have a permit. You withdraw the thing, you close the thing, you put the police there, nobody operates. Come the end of the month, nobody pays. The garage is, and the banks, right, it take the thing. They understand that language very well, and they behave mostly after that. If you nest them, talk with them, and just threaten, you don't really push out. That's what we did at Mthatha. We shut them down at Mthatha for some time, and it was during Easter
that hurts you. Make them,
yes, after that, nobody has died.
I hear you. Finally, do you seem to take it personally? I mean, crime in this country, you really do seem like, are you tough enough? Are you going to win? What is your final message to the listeners this morning? South Africans that want you to win. They want you to win in the war against crime in South Africa. They want to be safe.
I'm a South African. I'm a South African. It cannot be. It cannot be. There are two theories that guide me. My father said to me, I don't think anybody had a good father like my father. Okay. My father said to me, you never put your hand on a woman that day you surrender being a man. If things are really tough, turn away and walk away, even if you walk away forever. Mm. That drives me when it comes to women and children issues.
Mm, yeah.
The second one is a statement I made that I repeat now, to say my measurement of the safe South African is when the young woman walks alone in the middle of the night from point A to point B without any fear of rape, assault and all. I took that from Germany when there was a World Cup. I saw these four young girls. It was two, three, playing around. I stopped the car and I asked them, aren't you scared? Because it looks like they were nice, they had something. They said to me, it's a societal matter, nobody can touch us. The society here understand that we are untouchables.
Yeah.
So that theory,
wow,
yeah,
okay,
is not the police matter, it's a societal matter.
That's
that
a dream.
Nobody touches these young women as they move alone in the middle of the night from point A to point B.
Are you going to make that happen?
The young girl said to me it was a societal matter. So, I, as you have said, maybe we do need to also emphasize and throw more campaigns as you arrest, as people go to prison. But prison cannot take 54 million people. Some of people must behave like you do, must behave like I do when it comes to behaving, and increase that pool of people and decrease the pool of people that go to, and that is for South Africans as a whole. But we will, as the South African police, put our emphasis and do our bit to make sure that South Africans remain safe.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you coming in, and hopefully you'll come back again in the future. It is great for you to connect with us and with people listening to the station. We all want a better, safer South Africa. Let's take it upon ourselves to increase that pool of good people. Let's stamp out the bad ones. And we think of you. We think of you and we pray for you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
I pray for South Africans too, and the Almighty God one day will take care of us.
Minister Becky Kele, thanks for joining us.
Wake up with Martin Vester on Breakfast. Jelle, the secretly lekkerste show, ooit op radio.